Blog Talk Radio.
Going into the corner, Gordie Howe goes in to fight for it. He and Zygenkov have it. Back to Walt, not in front. Here's Bobby Hull, shoots, scores! Bobby Hull!
Junot trying to make a play. Lemieux steals, and he's up against Raymond Bork and Adam Oates. Coming to the Bruins, they got around both men. Cutting for the net, he's in on goal. Hey! Charlton scores! What a goal!
Brunet carries in, rolling in front of the net, and shot! Desjardins following the play, and he misses the short shot. Here he is again! Scores! Desjardins!
Hockey fans, you're listening to the hard kicking, kick saving, sudden death scoring, NHL breakdown. I'm your host, Scott Levy, joined as always by George Kurtz of RotoExperts.com. We're bringing you all the on and off ice action, as well as keep you fans and you fantasy owners fully informed at the top of your respective leagues. Once the regular season starts, we'll kick in with our fantasy reports, which is good for you hockey fans and you fantasy owners. It includes the IR report, goalie report, waiver wire recommendations, and of course line updates as well. So look for that to happen once the regular season starts. We're right in the middle of fantasy hockey prep month, kind of a fantasy hockey bonanza, as I like to ridiculously call it. And George and I are up to sleepers. Well, we really kind of covered all the skater keepers on Monday's show. Thought we'd have time to talk about goaltenders as well as players to avoid, so we'll cover that today. Although there was a little bit of happenstance happening in the world of NHL hockey, which we will talk about, which might sort of push players to avoid to Monday, but we'll see what kind of time we have. So George, let me jump right into the Max Domi, Aaron Ekblad situation, just to sort of get out of the way. And as I sort of said about a half hour ago on Twitter, I'm not entirely sure why I'm even bringing this up, because it seems like the same old thing every time. It never changes. And even when it does change, it's just sort of like a tease at a change and not really a true change when it comes to these disciplinary and suspension situations. But at the same time, it felt like I couldn't ignore it. If you aren't, our listeners aren't familiar with what happened, Max Domi takes a cheap shot, although some people dispute that it was a cheap shot, because Ekblad saw it was coming and he decided not to defend himself, which, why should you necessarily have to defend yourself by somebody coming at you? If anything, it might have even been kind of a clever idea. Okay, this guy looks like he's going to hit me. I'll take a punch and he'll get a penalty and we'll go on the power play, you know? So for those people arguing that side of things, that Ekblad should have defended himself, which I think is ridiculous to begin with, there was sort of a logical reason why maybe he didn't want to, on top of the fact that maybe I just shouldn't have to. But enough with me going on about it. George, obviously you've seen the videotape. The suspension has come down. And you know what? 5 games for this kind of situation, George, I think normally would be pretty good, especially for a guy who's not, you know, got the worst reputation in terms of doing these kinds of offenses. So 5 games, why shouldn't we all just be like, woohoo, okay, nice job, NHL. Let's keep on going forward. So what do you think about the situation overall, what happened, how it played out, and specifically that 5-game preseason suspension from the NHL player safety? George, what do you think?
So, you know, I saw the play, not live, I'm not going to tell you I saw it live, but I saw it the night before it happened. And one thing you left out is that what preceded this was that there was a play in the corner, Domi's going after the puck, Ekblad goes after him, and he slashes him. It is not a dirty slash. In today's game, it might be a penalized slash. It maybe could have called a penalty on it, but it's not a slash to the body, it's a slash to the stick. It might have caught his hand. It might have, but it's certainly not there. It's a play you're going to see hundreds of times in an NHL game. And that seemed to be what set Domi off as he goes after Ekblad. You see what's going on here. And anybody who thinks that Ekblad should have dropped the gloves, this is exactly what Domi wanted, a non-fighter to drop his gloves. They can legally beat the piss out of him. And there's nothing that'll happen there. You are not required to drop your gloves if someone wants to fight. That's what it is. It used to be a code in the NHL where fighters only fought either other willing combatants or other fighters, guys who want to go. Remember, if you're a fighter in the NHL, generally you train to fight. All right? It means you take lessons how to fight better on skates. That's your job. You know, Ekblad's not doing that. Not doing that at all. Plus, he's one of the top defensemen in the NHL. You know, NHL, not fantasy defensemen, NHL defensemen. The Florida Panthers don't want him fighting. That's not his job. All right, so he did everything right. Anybody who says this is not a cheap shot, you're a Neanderthal. Okay, that Ekblad started coming. He was trying to skate away several times. Never made anything, never did anything to Domi. Never pushed him back, was trying to get away. Domi wouldn't let him go away. All right, so you see this happens, was it Wednesday night? And, you know, Rob Jakowski of the Edmonton Sun tweeted out, he tweeted out perfectly. We'll find out how much the NHL is serious about getting rid of concussions. Because Ekblad had a concussion history. Domi had a suspension history. This is obviously a dirty shot. It was a cheap shot, whatever you want to call it. It was all of that. You know, and then you get to see the next day. Before I heard about the suspension, before I saw the suspension, I saw the Department of Player Safety video. Okay, and they're going over, and they're trying to make it sound all serious and such. But while I'm watching the video, I kept hearing, I don't know who the guy who saw us, the announcer on the video, keeps saying, this is roughing. I'm like, no, it's not. Okay, it's not roughing. It's fighting. He dropped his glove. As soon as you drop your glove, you're no longer roughing. And you throw a punch, that's no longer roughing. That's fighting. But he said it two or three times in the video that the Department of Player Safety sent out, that this is roughing. No, you face wash somebody that's roughing. You hit somebody with your gloves on, that's roughing. You know, some of the stuff you might do that's roughing. Once you drop your glove and throw a punch and connect, that is fighting. So as soon as I saw the video, I'm like, NHL doesn't care. You know, I knew it right then. He's not going to get suspended. And he didn't get suspended. All right? Anybody thinks this preseason suspension is a suspension, it's a gift. It is an absolute gift. He doesn't even lose a dime. Not a dime. Players don't get paid for the preseason. So he gets a nice little rest. It's a complete joke. The NHL's telling you once again, we don't care. You know, it's usually when it comes to all these concussion lawsuits that you hear in football, you hear in hockey, I don't really feel for the players. I don't. Because you had to know going into physical sport you're going to get these concussions. You know, sometimes I don't understand how you can they can sue the league. The league was hiding the data. What, you needed to be told that getting hit in the head could be bad? Yeah, but then you see this. When the angel says, it's okay, we don't care. And I'm like, you know what, the players are right. The leagues don't care. They just don't. If you're letting this go on, the stuff we see penalized during the season, Scott, these open ice checks where by a millisecond or a millimeter he hits the guy in the head, and obviously the guy's ducking because he sees the hit coming and the hit just happens to hit the head. There's nothing illegal about it, but because the contact ends up being the head, and those guys get suspended 5-6 games, when it's really part of the game, more like it happens, absolute deliver. The guy's trying to go after a non-fighter, the guy who has a concussion history, he's a fighter, the other guy's not, and you suspend him for 5 preseason games? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The NHL's a joke. When it comes to handing out pressure, they're a joke. They don't make any sense. You know, none. Absolutely no sense. I mean, they don't follow their own rules. This is roughing. No, it's not roughing. Okay, you don't need to be a referee to know that's not roughing. I mean, what are you trying to do here? What message are you trying to send if you're the NHL? You're pretty much saying, hey, it's okay. Drop your gloves and sucker punch somebody. It's all right. We don't care. I mean, it just makes no sense to me, Scott. None. I thought it was a joke. Thought it was a joke then. Thought it was a joke now. But you knew it was coming. I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised in the least. I knew it was coming.
I think the way you laid out that whole thing was absolutely fantastic, and I couldn't agree more. It's just, you know, it's so frustrating and unsettling, and it's just, I mean, honestly, George, and I know I might be being a little bit dramatic about this, but I feel like this kind of suspension, this way of following through or not following through by the NHL is kind of like spitting us in the face. It's just insulting, you know, to the points that you already made. I mean, you're not losing a dime here. You know, the worst, you know, you can sort of spin this in a negative fashion is like, oh, well, Domi's new to the Montreal Canadiens, so it might hinder his sort of growing chemistry and understanding the system, you know, a little bit. Oh, bullshit. You know, and I know I probably should say this on a podcast. Say that on a podcast that's, you know, we're looking for a wide audience, younger and as well as older. But it just is. He broke his nose, George, as well as the concussion history. You know, Ekblad himself said exactly what you just said, George. It's a gift. It's literally a gift. You know, this sort of suspension. It's just like, you know. I said on Twitter yesterday to you, you know, sometimes I feel like the NHL, I love this sport far and away more than any other sport, not that I don't love other sports as well, you know. But George, you know, I'm pretty obsessive about this. And when it comes to hockey, and I feel like between this kind of thing and lockout BS, you know, sometimes I feel like this sport's trying to drive me away. But I don't think you really could have put it much better than you already did. So let's turn our attention to more fun things, especially this time of year with fantasy drafts in particular, really around the corner. I mean, well, not around the corner. I mean, they're really starting. We're starting prime time, you know, if we're not already sort of in it for fantasy leagues drafting here at the end of September, this last week and a half or so. Obviously, season starting on the 3rd. We talked about sleepers and the skater positions on Monday's show, and I naively thought we could at least get goalies and talk about players to avoid in that show as well. I don't know why I thought that with how much I talk, like I'm doing now. So, George, let's look at goalies, and, I feel like this is not an impossible question, but a hard question because, you know, goalies, there's only 30 starters in the 31, excuse me, in the National Hockey League. So to find a sleeper in such a small grouping would seem difficult. So do you even have anybody who would qualify as a sleeper? And I wouldn't criticize you, frankly, if you didn't. You know, because of that small sample size that we're dealing with. You know, let's start with that question before, because I kind of want to explore the bottom 10, so to speak. We did our top 20 plus on the 3rd of September. If you hadn't listened to that show, listeners, you might want to check that out, especially if you haven't drafted yet. Because I expect not to hear much from you in terms of sleeper options, I'll kind of want to explore the bottom 10. But before I get to that, I should at least ask you the question. So are there any guys that you consider like a solid sleeper option when it comes to a fantasy goalie, George?
No, because, once again, it's simple math here. There are only 31 starting goalies, and actually there aren't 31 when you think about it. A couple of teams are going to go with some kind of rotation there. So in most leagues, an overwhelming majority of leagues, we start two goalies. So we'll stick with a 10-team league. It means you're already 20 goalies are starting. So at least 11 at most. And as I said, you get probably a half dozen teams that are going to have some kind of rotation. That only leaves four or five goalies, starting goalies, really, that won't be drafted. Or won't be drafted to start for your team, I should say. Most goalies are going to get drafted. So, no, there are no sleepers as far as goaltending. There are low-owned goaltenders as far as percentage-wise that you may like more than others. You know, you get into that kind of situation, absolutely. But I wouldn't say there's any sleepers. Goaltending is the equivalent of when you play in a two-quarterback league. Everyone gets drafted. You know, so there are no sleepers because you have to know everybody. They're just goalies you like more than others, or goalies that are going to be owned in more leagues than other leagues.
I think that's completely fair. Kind of like I said, what I kind of expected, which is why I kind of wanted to sort of, you know, sort of make this into sort of looking at the bottom 10, the bottom 11 or so, to sort of make that determination. Because you're right, in standard leagues, whether, you know, it's a 10-team league or even a deeper league, there's really not going to be any leagues that are going to start more than two goalies in your fantasy, in your daily lineup or your weekly lineup, however your league is constructed. You know, I mean, certainly you might have leagues where you just have one starting goaltender, so that would sort of disqualify this conversation that I'm going to make in talking about the bottom 10. But, okay, let's assume most leagues you have the two starting goaltenders. Most teams are going to have a third goaltender. Now, some, fantasy goaltenders might sort of say, hey, I've got, like, you know, a top five stud. In case he goes down with injury, my third goalie will be his backup, just to, you know, make myself, just to back myself up, you know, because there aren't too many options out there if I do have an injury, you know, or their number two goalie, do the same thing. So it's certainly possible a certain amount of fantasy league owners will, you know, who do draft a third or fourth goalie, it will just be the backup. But you know where I'm going with this, George. Obviously, there's going to be other teams that have a number three. So you're dipping into this bottom of the barrel situation. So I guess I kind of want to start with tandem goaltenders. And I know you generally advise staying away from tandem goaltenders for good reasons. I'll let you spell that out for you when I hand it over to you. But if, you know, there are a couple of tandem situations that I think are intriguing. That you have some good goaltenders, or at least they're a pretty good team, so you might get some good numbers. It's just a matter of whether it's worth navigating or not. And the three that jump out to me as particularly interesting that I want to hear you comment on is the Chicago situation, and obviously that's really based a lot on the injury situation with Crawford. If he's healthy, this isn't a tandem situation at all. He's obviously a number one goaltender, and he's probably not 19th on our list. He's probably in the top 10, if not even pushing the top 5. But Colorado, you have Grubauer and Varlamov there now. They are an improving team. I think some people will pick them to make the playoffs again. Some people will pick them to miss the playoffs. But I think we all still feel like they're on the upswing, you know. And then New Jersey, with another team that's sort of like borderline, maybe not playoff team. Schneider's got the good history when he's healthy. And then Kincaid, who obviously came in to play a lot last year, played pretty darn well for him. And Schneider's health isn't 100%, you know, for sure, that we know of. So those strike me as the three tandem situations that would at least have potential to give you decent numbers if you needed to dip that far for your fantasy team. What do you think about each situation in particular, and do you consider either any of them worthy of taking a chance on, at least as a number three, as that depth, as your injury backup or your extra goalie start of the week if you're in a daily league, that sort of thing? One last thing I want to say before I hand it off to you, George, Crawford did say the other day, it was about 3 days ago, that he's just about ready to start practicing, at least he believes. We don't have confirmation from the team on that. We don't have confirmation from the medical staff on that. But assuming for a second that that's true, 3 weeks is not going to be, 3 weeks is not going to be enough to sort of get him ready to be the starter coming out of the gate. But it does look like there's some hope that he could come back. So, George, those three tandem situations, what do you think? Are any of them worthy to take a chance on? George?
Well, when it comes to tandem situations, the only negative, I mean, once again, we're talking about goalie threes here, so it's really no major negative, but the only major negative is that if you're in a weekly lineup league, well, you don't know. You just don't know who's starting that week. It's rare. Every now and then, and we do the, or I do the goalie reports on Mondays. Every now and then, yeah, I could find out before lineup time that, you know, a team has announced it. But when I say every now and then, I mean every now and then. I mean, this may happen 3-4 times all year. They'll announce it. It just doesn't happen very often. You know, teams like to keep all, you know, as many secrets as they can, even though I don't really see what the difference makes. But they do. So, although I don't mind those goalie threes, once again, everybody's taken. You know, simple math tells you, 10-team league. You know, not everyone's going to be able to get a goalie three, or at least a decent goalie three. So we're going to have to take some of these tandems. We are, if you're waiting long enough here. Crawford is certainly a worthy risk. I mean, and I think you were sort of hinting at, his value goes up. The more we hear about it, that he's going to be ready, even if he's not ready for October, even if he told me he's going to be ready for November, his value goes up. I don't think he'll be able to be top five again. I wouldn't put him there. But, you know, between that 8 and 12 range wouldn't shock me, where he could be, once again, a solid goaltender one or a very high-end goaltender too. So he's a guy who I certainly will take a chance on. You know, he's a guy I'm willing to target as a goalie three, because that's a bonus if I can get him there. You know, so it might be somebody I'd go after. Now, you talk about other guys here. I mean, as far as tandems, and there are a lot of teams. Philadelphia could have some kind of tandem. Colorado could have some kind of tandem. You know, I don't care about the Islanders tandem. Carolina and their tandem. Arizona, no team. I don't care about the tandem. You know, bad teams. I don't care about the tandem. I just don't. What are you hoping for? And really, what are you hoping for with a bad goalie and a bad team? I mean, counting stats, your ratios aren't going to be good. You're not going to get Ws here, so I just don't care. Detroit comes to mind here. I'll avoid them. I'm not worried about those tandems at all. It's only on the good teams that I think about the tandems. You know, those are teams I'll worry about. Scott, yes, I would be willing to take one. Not taking both. Okay, I mean, that's the thing. So once again, we're talking about goalie threes here. So if you only have 5 roster spots, and even if you're a daily league, you could argue, okay, I take both. And now I'm guaranteed really 3 starting goalies, yes, but now that also means you only have 3 other bench spots. So that would have to be in a league that's heavy, probably heavy goaltending, or certainly at least equal with the Skaters to take really 4 goaltenders. That's a lot. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. It's got to take to go to a tandem, you know, take both, you know, I don't know, take both Varlamov and Grubauer. This way I'm covered. To take both, you know, Darling and Mrazek. You know, hey, I'll find out each day. It's a daily lineup thing. I'll find out who's going to start each day, and I'll put that person in my lineup. I get the theory there. I do. And it does make sense. But, man, you're eating up 40% of your roster now with backup goaltenders. 40% of your backup, your reserves with backup goaltenders. What are you going to do when you have injuries? You know, and you're going to get injuries. We're all going to get hurt. You know, you're going to need those backup. When I say injuries, I'm not talking about not guys placed on IR where you can replace or pick up somebody off the waiver wire. I'm talking about guys who you find out, well, they're not playing tonight. They're not playing for a couple of days, but they're not being placed on IR. So it's a tricky question, Scott. Really, it comes down to strategy about whether or not you can live with three reserve spots. I mean, a fourth doesn't sound like much. It doesn't. But in most leagues where goaltending is not quite as valuable as skaters, I wouldn't take a tandem. You know, I wouldn't take both guys. But like I said, if your goaltending stats are really equal to what your skater stats are, then, yeah, I could be talked into this.
I think that's a very important differential that you were just sort of talking on, you know, because if you are talking standard leagues with, a roster that's about 15, 16, I think the points that you're just making, really needs to be heeded, you know, that it's probably not worth taking that fourth goaltender, you know, so it's probably not worth dipping into really any tandem situation, you know, unless, of course, you know, for your number two, you can sort of get stuck. You know, you waited so long and there's just not, you know, there's just slim pickings out there. And you sort of take Crawford as your late number two and you back him up with Ward because you think it's not going to really work out that well. Or even, you know, Colorado. I was actually just talking to, an Avalanche beat writer, AJ Hafele, and who's very good follow. And, you know, he sort of confirmed to me that he expected Grobauer and Varlamov to be a tandem unless one of them really sort of like creates separation over the course of the season in terms of level of play, you know. So, you know, if I'm sort of stuck, I've waited, you know, to get my number two goaltender and I'm in a standard league, I might take, you know, that sort of outside of the Chicago tandem situation, that Colorado tandem situation might be tempting to sort of dip in. But again, then I'm still just totally three goaltenders. I'm a number one and that tandem. And really, if I'm in the, a weekly league, you know, to the point that you've made, you know, repeatedly over the years, I'm just not sure if it's really worth it to have to sort of deal with that headache and that stress of, like, trying to figure out who's got the two games this week, who's got the one game this week, since, as we all know, three games is the general standard week in and week out there. I want to sort of jump off, some of the names that you sort of – you kind of ran through some of the other tandem-type situations or bad team goaltending situations, and you're really not going to be that interested in them. But one of them I want to follow up with is Antti Raanta. And Antti Raanta sort of made the back end of our top 20 where he had two sets of goaltenders that were sort of tied in the 18th and the 19th spot. You know, so it was really a top 22 when we did our rankings a couple of weeks ago. And Raanta really squeezed in as the number 22 guy. But, you know, it's hard to argue that, I know some people are starting to speculate that Arizona might be that, like, second wild card. They could have that breakout year. But I think even the most optimistic people around are thinking, okay, they might be in a playoff bubble, but it's hard to see them making the playoffs this year unless they have multiple players take a step up. But to the point that you're making, you're saying, hey, you're taking a goaltender from a bad team or a team that's not going to be that very good. The second half of last year, George, when Raanta finally got healthy and he was bad at the beginning of the season and then he had the injury troubles, but from January 1st to the end of the year last year, George, Raanta had a 1.84 goals against average. The team was above 500, and he was in net for most of those goals. I think they were like 17, 15, and 2, I believe, was their record down the stretch last 34 games or so. So that sort of like gives a little bit of light. Light at the end of the tunnel, hope, so to speak. You're talking about a team that's probably going to not be great, even if they have improvement this year. Do you look at those numbers and this team is at least a little bit on the upward swing, and say, okay, this is a guy that I am sort of, like you're saying with Crawford, he's a great guy to target as number three. Does Raanta's numbers from the second half of last year encourage you that he would be a good guy to target as a number three? Or you're just not buying in to make that sort of move to draft a guy late in your draft? you know, because it's just unproven. It's a half a season. Big deal, Scott. Give me more before I'm going to invest in that, even as a number three. So, Ante Raanta, how much you on that bandwagon? How much you're like, nah, not for me. George?
What he did last season means somewhere between little and very little to me. Players and teams seem to play better once they have nothing to lose. In this case, they were at it. They weren't going anywhere, so you relax a little bit. Pressure's not really on anymore, and he played better. I mean, I guess it'll make me feel better if I do draft him, that he played better. But do I really think he's I don't see what's the upside here? High-end goalie three? You know, he's not going to get the goalie two status for me, so no, I won't be putting much thought into Arizona. Not, they're a team, really. Until I see something, I don't care really about most of their players. You know, and the goaltending especially, I don't know if the defense is really any better than what it has been, where it's going to be good enough to where I'm going to think about taking a goaltender there. You know, I certainly well aware he played better. But he's a goaltender, I'd be like, oh, God, Raanta. And is there ever going to be a good matchup where you feel good about using Raanta? I mean, ever? And they've done little to nothing on defense there. There's no improvement there. Other than they re-signed Ekman Larson. Congratulations. I would have traded them personally and gotten back projects and draft picks. You traded for Galchenyuk. Okay. You know, a guy who failed in Montreal. There's nobody here. It's a bad team. And it's going to be a bad team this year. Bottom line is I have little to no interest in Raanta. He's a guy who's on my roster. He'll be nice where even if I let's say you have Raanta and, I don't know, two other goalies. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's two. Could be two Vezina Trophy goalies or two other average goalies. Doesn't matter. But there'll be nights where Arizona's playing and my other two goalies aren't. And I'm looking, Arizona's playing something. No, I don't like the matchup. I won't have any goalies tonight. Then I'm worried about more of a downside than the upside. And if my third goaltender really, if I can't automatically put him in, you know, then I'm probably not worried about taking him. You know, I had a draft the other night. It was best bowl draft. Most goalies are taken, but you're at the end of the draft where goalies like Raanta and several others are available. And I had three, but I only had two starters. My third goalie was James Reimer. Goalies went off the board fast and furious earlier than I expected, so my third goalie was James Reimer, obviously because I didn't expect Luongo to play more than 50 games. You know, even Florida came out and said the other day that's their high for him, 50 games. So I'm looking at goaltenders, and there's one starting goaltender available. And that goaltender is Robin Lehner, New York Islanders. And I said, it's the best ball. So it's a little different here. But I'm like, man, Islanders are going to be a really bad team. They're not going to score goals. Lehner's not a very good goalie. Defense is terrible. You know, maybe it gets better with a year's experience, but it's not. Bottom line, it's not a good team. Same situation I was getting with Arizona. Raanta was gone, so I didn't have to worry about him. It was Lehner. And I'm like, you know, I would get a starting goaltender. You know, I want to go. In the end, I said, you know what? Screw it. Didn't take him. Yeah, I know it's bad for me. It's a situation where, same with Raanta, he's not going to help me in any category. You know, odds are. There's always a chance he does. You know, I'm sure he'll have a hot stretch where he will be picked up in most leagues. All teams do. But in the long season, I just don't see the upside here. So instead, I forget who I took. I didn't take a goaltender. I took a skater. It might have been a defenseman. Could have been a forward. I don't remember who I took. But in the end, I decided, you know what? Low-end goaltender for a goalie four, even though he's starting for me, probably going to hurt my team more than help my team. I didn't go in that direction.
All right. Definitely some interesting feedback on there. I think, you know, if I'm taking a number three, I'm taking a risk. If I'm taking that number three goaltender in a fantasy draft, and a lot of my drafts, George, as you know, are deeper. So it's easier to sort of take that risk. But I don't always, draft a third starting goaltender. I will, you know, especially if I'm, you know, if I feel there's any real issue or any possibility of injury, I do like to sort of take a backup and have that sort of be my third guy, and then I can always find a third goaltender or trade for a guy if I really felt I needed it during the year and pluck it off. But, you know, being in a deeper draft, I'm much more willing and much more comfortable to sort of take that risk. So if you're not talking a standard league, and I know most of our conversations do focus on the more standard type of league, I actually am sort of excited to take a risk on Raanta. But that's, again, looking at a 20-round draft, and I'm looking sort of like in the 17th to 18th round, I actually think Ranta is getting a little bit of buzz, so I sort of expect him to go a little bit higher than that. Not that I'm willing to sort of pull the trigger on that, but if I am sort of in the last couple of rounds of a deep draft, I do find intriguing because, you know, I love the point that you made about players in general playing better once their team gets eliminated. The level of play for Toronto really, you know, I mean, okay, even at January 1st, they were not officially eliminated. They weren't officially eliminated until well into February. It might have even been March by the time they were eliminated. But at that point in the season, it's Arizona. We knew we weren't going anywhere. So the point that you're making about the fact that the pressure's off really still does apply to me. But, you know, that's over a third of the season. That's about 40% of the season that he, you know, played pretty well on that flawed team. And I actually do think that they're going to take at least a little bit of step forward. So, again, in a deeper draft, appeals to me. But in a standard draft, which is obviously our focus here, I think your points are very well taken. I want you to talk a little bit more about one of the other names you sort of just dropped here a moment ago, which is Roberto Luongo. Again, from the perspective of you're now in third goalie territory, you just mentioned that Florida pretty much said, okay, 50 games is kind of the cap here, you know, for him. He's played 35 last year, 40 the year before, 62 and 61 the two previous years before that. And even if you go back another year, it was, I think, 56 between Vancouver and Florida. So, you know, you're trending down. You know, but at the same time, he has still put up relatively solid numbers. You're getting, you know, goals against average. I know 2 years ago it was a 2.68, you know, but the last, like, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, you're around 2.4, under 2.5, pushing 2.3. That's not bad. You're getting save percentages around 920, 929 last year. Okay, it was only 35 games, but still. You know, the lowest he's had is 915 the last 6 years, and although that's a little bit below average, a little bit below the 920 you want, it's obviously not egregiously bad. And plus, both me and you are kind of on the Florida bandwagon this year. I think we all expect, you know, Tampa Bay, Boston to be up there, you know, at the top of the division there, and obviously Toronto, can't forget them. But I think all of us are feeling fairly confident that Florida seems to be in good position to finish fourth in that division, and the only reason they wouldn't be higher is because those three teams look like they're going to be really good. So, again, yes, you're not looking at a 65-game start season from Luongo, but how appealing, because of everything I just said, is Luongo, at least as a third guy? And would you consider getting him as a second guy and getting Reimer? Or is that's just way too much of a risk to even seriously consider? George, Luongo and the Florida goaltending situation, how appealing is it to you from a fantasy standpoint?
Well, one thing, this is going to be those pain in the neck situations, because I'm not the only person who's going to realize in fantasy leagues that Reimer has value. He's going to play more than your typical backup. So what I mean by that is, let's say you grab Luongo, and I have Luongo in my top 20. When he's healthy, this is a good team. They're going to be a good goaltender. So he's going to be somebody who can really help your team. I think Florida, the division's tough. I mean, you know, you got Tampa Bay, you got Boston, you got Toronto, and you throw in Florida. I mean, that's at the top four. The bottom three teams are bad, but the top four are good. So it's going to be a battle royale between those teams. Still, I expect them all to make the playoffs. But you grab Luongo. I say he's a good goaltender, too, for me, and I don't mind having him. But you really do want Reimer as well, which means the goaltending tandem has more value in a daily league, because in a daily league, I'll take both. I'll take Luongo, I'll take Reimer, I'll find out who's going to start each day, and I'm very happy with both. But in a weekly league, you got the same problem. You know, I don't think you're going to see too many stretches where Luongo's playing more than 3-4 games in a row. I think they're going to try and manage his playing time as much as possible to keep him as healthy for as long as possible. This is a team that makes the playoffs last year if Luongo doesn't get hurt. You know, they just end up just barely missing as it was. They would have made it if Luongo didn't get hurt. So they're gonna want to manage his time. Now, Reimer's not a great goaltender by any means, but he's a good backup. So that's why I think that's where Reimer used to play. I think Florida feels in their goaltending situation, knowing that they can play Reimer. So I think that's where we're at. You know, and they'll have to be very very careful as for a fantasy owner. You get Luongo, you're going to want to grab Reamer, but you can't wait forever. That's the problem. Let's say we're in a 16-round draft. You get Luongo in round 10. You can't wait to round 16 because I think someone will grab him before that. Because someone's going to look at all the backup goaltenders that are available in, let's say, round 14, the goaltender threes. You know, all the starters are gone, so they're looking at guys. They're looking at guys who aren't going to play every game. And they're going to have that decision. Well, you know what? You know, Reamer is going to play 30 games. Good team. He's not a great goaltender three to have, but at least when he is in there, I'm going to get good numbers rather than take, you know, a goaltender on a bad team. So I think that's going to be the question for a lot of fantasy owners. What would you rather have? You know, a goaltender on a bad team that's going to play 60 games, or a goaltender on a good team that's going to play maybe half that, upside to play more when Luongo does get hurt. And I do fully expect Luongo to get hurt again. So maybe that ends up being a 50-50 split. So therefore, just by that logic alone, since you're going to have, maybe not every owner in your league is going to think about it, but three or four are, one's going to pull that trigger. So if you grab Luongo in round 10, I probably now have to grab Reamer in round 13, just to make sure I have my goaltenders. So once again, this is not the same situation as before, where you're grabbing two goaltender threes. You probably drafted Luongo as a goaltender two, and now your backup is Reamer as a goaltender three. Your problem is going to be, do you now need to grab a goaltender four? Because what if your other goaltender gets hurt? Yeah, then you don't have a second goaltender. You only have Luongo and Reamer. So you're in some ways, you are in the same situation as before, or as you could be, where now two of your reserve spots are tied up. And goaltenders, one you're hoping to use very rarely, that would be Reamer, and the other one is really a caution against your goaltender one getting hurt. So it's tricky. It really depends on how you value things. You know, I said I took Reamer. I do not have Luongo in that league. The other guy I was talking about, I forget who my two. I think I have Holtby and I have a solid goaltender. I do not have Luongo, though. So Reamer wasn't a backup for Luongo. He's a guy that I just like. I can plug in there because I think he's going to play 40 games. I do. I think he plays 30 automatically, and I expect Luongo to end up on the IR at some point. The question is how long. So I think Reamer is a very good backup to grab here. But there is some worry there about how you're going to manage your team around him.
Really nice breakdown of the Florida goaltender situation, the possibilities, and all the things that you have to consider there. All right, George, I have a couple more questions when it comes to goaltenders, and then we're probably going to wrap it up for today and save players to avoid until Monday's show. And when I say players to avoid, I don't necessarily mean like, okay, they're terrible. I'm really talking about players that George and I just feel are going to be overvalued and maybe drafted in the fourth round, where maybe we thinking, you know, mid-draft is later, or guys that are going to be drafted in the middle of the draft, we're like, okay, I wouldn't touch that guy until later in the draft. Kind of thing. But one guy I want to specifically ask you about before, because I kind of want to ask you about kryptonite situations, like goaltender situations that you wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole no matter what, which you've already hinted about, but I want some more specifics. But there's one guy I specifically want to pick up or ask you about because I think he's sort of going to get a little bit of play, not so much on name value, but because he was a backup who's now going to be a starter. And that is Carter Hutton. He put up some really pretty great numbers last year, at least in the 32 games he played. 209 goals against average, 931 save percentage, 3 shutouts. So like one shutout, like 10% of the time he's throwing a shutout. 17 wins, 7 losses. So it's pretty darn good numbers, George. Worthy of like, all right, I'll give this guy a shot as a number one. Seems he's going to get that in Buffalo. In fact, it's almost a sure thing. You know, I've read a number of times over the summer how Buffalo really does like Allmark, and they kind of want him to take the reins, but they don't want to give him the reins. They sort of like view him as a guy that, okay, if we hand him the starter job, we don't feel like he's going to, you know, work as hard as he needs to be. We want him to earn it, kind of thing. So Hutton comes in here. He does have the good, great numbers last year, and really solid to very good numbers, you know, the previous like 2-3 years, being a backup who is starting, you know, 20 to 30 games or so. I mean, again, George, as a third goaltender, does this have some genuine appeal to you because of the numbers that he showed he could put up in the last 2 years in particular? Or is this sort of like, you know, a hornet's nest that, you know, you're wearing rose-colored glasses if you're even taking a risk as a number three here? So, George, how would you classify Hutton, and does he have any appeal, even if it's just a little bit, to take a risk on as a number three? George?
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with taking Hutton as a number three. And there might even be some upside there. I don't know if it's major upside there. I was worried about guys who are in their first years as a starter. He's always been a backup. How's he going to handle the role as a starter? You know, especially as the season goes on. So there's some concern there. The team has made some improvements. I mean, I expect Rasmus Dahlin to break camp with the team. Be surprised if he doesn't. So that helps the defense. You know, you trade with Jeff Skinner, it helps the offense. So they've made some improvements. This is no longer – I keep forgetting they do the lottery for every team now. It doesn't make the playoffs. So I was going to say I don't expect them to be a lottery team. But, yeah, they probably are going to make a lottery team. So I do expect – Buffalo to be, you know, maybe not a bottom 10 team, certainly not a bottom 8 team. So I don't mind Carter Hutton. I think he's an improvement in net. I think I like Skinner as for the offense. I said Dahlin. I think Ristolainen has a sort of a backup, a better season than he had the past year or so. So I kind of like this team. I think this is actually a team you might want to say a team to watch. And you know when I say that within reason. Because I think they'll be I think they'll be better. Remarkably better than what they've been. But I don't think they'll be a playoff contender. I don't. But I think they'll be better, where they'll be, an actual NHL team, where not a laughing stock. So I don't mind Carter Hutton as a goaltender three there. But once again, it's within reason. Wind is still going to be tough to come by. You know. But once again, that's also why he's a goaltender three. You know, if they weren't going to be tough to come by, he'd be a goaltender two. So, yes, I'm interested in Carter Hutton as well.
All right, George. So let's wrap things up with talking about this would be the opposite of that, you know, because you're talking about, you know, and some of these you've at least touched on a little bit already, but like the Islanders situation, Carolina situation, Vancouver, Ottawa, Detroit, these are all situations that we haven't really sort of touched on at all. Are all those situations that I mentioned like absolute kryptonite, like I couldn't pay you actual money to draft one of these guys as a number three, you know, or any of them like, okay, well, maybe, you know, or like I said, you weren't touching these with a 10-foot pole, even if you have two or three injuries on your goalie, your goalies on your roster, which obviously I have to be joking because you need to fill your roster, you know? So if you do have two or three injuries, you kind of have to pick up one or two of these guys. But seriously, the best of the rest or the worst of the rest, or do any of them have a glimmer of hope to you, or as I sort of put it before, are they all kryptonite? George?
Listen, when it comes to you can't say they're all kryptonite. I mean, am I dying for any of them? No. No, I'm not. But I'm not going to say I'm avoiding everybody. You don't know how a draft's going to go. You don't. You know, you can make a plan and say, well, you know what, I'm going to draft goalie three early, and it's going to be top 20 guys. So I don't have to worry about this. You can say that. Before, you know, I mentioned a draft I did the other night. You know, goalies were flying off the board. Now, it was an industry league, but still, goalies were flying off the board. I have two more drafts this week. Well, actually, next week. Today's Friday. I have, draft Wednesday and a draft Friday. I'll have a plan there for goalies. I usually do. But you don't know that, like old leagues, we say this over and over again. You know, the only thing you can truly plan for is the first round. Because, you know, no matter what pick you have, you can list your top 10 players, your top whatever, and you just go in that order of whoever's left, and you take that player. After that, it's the flow of the draft. You just don't know. The exact opposite could be true. Maybe people are backing off goaltenders. You know, goaltenders aren't going quickly. It is deep. You know, goaltenders, as far as your top 12, top 13 guys, it's solid. So maybe people wait on goaltenders. You never know during a draft. So I don't get caught up in too many things. You know, I'm very well aware that I need to be flexible during a draft. Yes, I may have a plan, but that plan can change in an instant. You know, it just can. You know, and this it includes throughout the draft. Odds are I know around when I'm thinking about taking a goaltender three. It's generally around 12, around 13, somewhere around there. That's when I start to think about it. But it also depends who's fallen. As I said, there could be top goaltenders that are still there, and I'm like, wow, I get a great goaltender three. Or it could be where I got to think about it around 9 because people went goaltender crazy, kept taking him over and over again. And I want to make sure I get one. And this is in all fantasy sports, by the way. We see this in football with quarterbacks, with tight ends. You know, all those ones, we need one guy that aren't, you know, multiple of the players. You see it over and over again. So I'll be flexible in my draft. There'll be nobody that I'll say I absolutely won't draft. There'll be guys I'm less likely to draft than others. You know, I already mentioned the Islanders. I think they're going to be a bad team. So I really have very little interest in Leonard, Greece, or anybody. I was going to say there are situations I want to avoid, like goaltends where you don't know who the starter is right now, but there are just too many of those to really say I'm going to avoid it. I'm probably going to have nothing to do with Craig Anderson. It's not him. The team's a dumpster fire. We know that. Right? If they're not the worst team in the NHL, who is? Carey Price, he won't go slow anyway. You probably should, because there's another team that's in bad shape. But he's a guy. He's a goaltender I'll have nothing to do with here. Now, I just won't. But there will also be some tandems that I will look to grab somebody. I'm still going to look at Brian Elliott in Philadelphia. You know, yes, I know him and Neuwirth are going to have some playing time, but I expect Elliott to get the better share of that. And once again, for where I'm drafting him, I'll be okay with it. You know, I think the hardest situation really might be Colorado. What the hell's going to happen there? You know, Varlamov, when healthy, is a good starting goaltender, but you gave up so much for Grubauer. Generally, when you trade for a goaltender and you give up valuable assets for that goaltender, means you want him to start. That's what that means. So what's going to happen there? Are they just going to use Volov and trying to trade him sometime, you know, December, January, when a goaltender gets hurt? Is that what Volov's there for? Yeah, so it's sort of a mess there, you know. So that'll be a very tough situation for me. Scott Darling and Mrazek in Carolina. I think one could be valuable, but I think this is almost a 50-50 split right now. Or you're rolling with dice, see which one's going to break out. I think that's the way it could be. You know, I want nothing to do with Detroit's goaltenders. You know, I'm going to pass on that. You know, Arizona is probably in between passing and taking a chance as far as Ranta is concerned, but I'm probably leaning more towards not doing it, no. You know, Vancouver, you know, Marks was a starter, and he's really the guy, you know, if you're looking for a starting goaltender, he'll be okay, but once again, bad team. You know, I think he'll go earlier than some of these other guys, so I'll let someone else take them. So it can be tricky, but goaltender phase it can be, and that's the way it is. I guess that's the way it should be. You know, but that's also why it's like people who take saves in baseball. Some people will take their closers early. You know what? Because they don't have to worry about this anymore. They have their three closers. To me, I tend not to do that. I tend to take one solid closer, or in this case, one solid goaltender. And then my second goaltender may be a little iffy, but he'll still be a guy I can pretty much rely on. Same as the closer. And then my third one will be somebody I admit, you know, rolling the dice, you know, doing my best educated guess as to who's going to be that player.
A lot of nice feedback there. You know, I guess the last thing I'll sort of like jump off what you just said is the Carolina goaltending situation. Because I think you're exactly right that it's an open question how it's going to be. It's probably going to be a tandem. But I do think that at least to start the season that they're going to give Darling more of the share, 3 out of 5. You know, partly because of what they invested in him, you know, playing into that very much. But it's really, and I imagine this is one of the reasons why they're, you know, they wouldn't be kryptonite to you, and certainly for me, is I really like that defense now, George. Slavin and Hamilton, Calvin DeHaan and Falk, those, you know, Brendan Moore himself just the other day said, okay, don't look into our line combinations or defensive pairings too much just yet. It's the preseason. But those two pairings have been looking pretty and playing pretty well here, at least in the early going of the preseason. So there's a general feeling that those pairs will stay. But even if they didn't, I mean, still, those four, I like P. Salai a lot as a defensive defenseman, and now he might be on your third pairing. And even if he's not, I liked him and Slavin. I thought they were a very solid up-and-coming tandem as a defensive pair. So you got five nice defensemen there, and then your sixth is Hayden Fleury, who's still a young up-and-coming guy, and he might be pretty good himself. You know, it's just he's only had so much experience. You know, there's going to be an awful lot of youth in terms of up front, so scoring is going to be questionable, even though I like the long-term future here with Aho, Zykov, Svetnikov, Teravainen, and Nekas, and it does look like Nekas does seem like he's likely to make the club. I mean, that's like five nice young guys to sort of build with. I don't know how good they're actually going to score this year, but in 2 years from now, I think at least four of those five guys, if not all five of them, will make sort of a nice top six. For that team. So I definitely see Carolina as having potential. So, again, looking at a third goaltender, especially if I'm getting my third goaltender late, like most of the number threes are gone, I'm intrigued in taking Darling. And if I'm not, I'm putting Darling and Mrazek on my watch list to keep a close eye on early in the season to see how it plays out if I do want to end up picking up a number one or another goaltender as things progress. All right, folks, that's all we have today. George, I'll let you go as I wrap things up and just remind everybody that we will be talking about players to avoid later in the draft, on Monday's show. But as I said before, these are not necessarily players that we're saying they're not draft-worthy at all. We're just sort of, throwing up the red flag of we think that they might be – the hype might be a little bit too much, that they're going to be drafted a lot higher than they are realistically should be. So as well as maybe a few players who might fall in there, as I said, who we think might get drafted, but we're suggesting not touching at all. Again, if you're just first catching up with our podcast and haven't listened to any of our other shows early this month, if you're looking to prep for your fantasy hockey league, we are definitely one of the people that you should do it with. On September 3rd, we did top 20-plus goaltenders, fantasy rankings, that is, then followed with the top 40 centers, fantasy centers, on the 5th of September. On the 7th of September, top 25 plus left wings. The 10th of September, top 25 plus right wings. And wrapping up the positions with defensemen on September 14th with top 25 plus, about top 30 defensemen right there. We also did team-by-team looks all throughout August. You can check out all of these shows just by going to our homepage at blogtalkradio.com. The link is in our Twitter account, NHL Breakdown, so you can link right to it. And like we said, we're here for all your hockey needs all year long. Stick with us. Have a good hockey draft if you're in a fantasy league, folks. We'll talk to you on Monday.